Father God, thank you so much for this morning. And most of all, Lord, thank you for your Holy Spirit that writes your word. Lord, we ask that your Spirit descend upon everyone in this room, believer and unbeliever alike, and really work on our hearts this morning and work on our heads and tweak us so that we can behave like holy people, not like common people. Bless us, Lord. We're broken and only you can fix us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we're doing a sermon series on 1 Peter. And 1 Peter is a letter that's written by God to little churches that are suffering. Last week you learnt that the churches in Turkey that this was written to, they were labelled by the Romans at the time as hateful, and government policy was written against them. And you know what the problem is? The more people label you, the more you start to believe the labels that are put on you. And so 1 Peter is a book is full of labels, but not labels that are unhelpful and crush you, labels that reaffirm who you can be. Last week we looked at the fact that everyone who believes in Jesus is chosen by God. We learnt that last week. And last week we learnt that we're part of a living hope. And the thing I love about a living hope is it's not a dead hope. What we hope in changes the person who chooses that hope. Okay, that's where we're at. We are chosen people of God. We believe in a living hope that is changing us to prepare us for our future. Today, we're told we're holy. And this whole chapter is about our holiness. And when you look at the chapter, there are four commands in the whole chapter. It says to set your hope fully. It says to be holy in all you do. It says to love one another deeply. And it says, it commands us, we must crave spiritual milk. There are four musts in the passage. They're not unrelated. They link and they flow beautifully. And what I want to do is I want to read it this morning. I want to take you through the flow so you're kind of swept up in the logic of God. It's really beautiful. It's really encouraging. And I hope that it just brings you along. So let's get into it straight away. We are to set our hope fully on something. 1 Peter 1, verse 13. Therefore, prepare your minds for action and be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. The first step to being a holy person is having your hopes in the right thing, in a certain thing. And let me tell you now, as Christians, we know that the only certain thing in our future is that Jesus is coming back. All other hopes we have are either finicky or fading. But the one hope, it's locked in something better than concrete, the promises of God. Jesus is coming back. And the reason is we've got to be careful because you know what? The world says, set your hope in your savings, your super, your hopes in your education, your strength and your beauty and your friends and your job and your success. Now, if you anchor your hopes in any of those things, all of them are finicky and they're fading. I know. I'm 50. I have enough of hope to hold on to it, and I'm old enough to know that it's fading. Beauty, strength, friends, education, influence. But there's something in the future that I can set my hope fully on, not partially, fully on Jesus. Step two. Once you've set your hopes, then you can look at your behaviour. And our behaviour is to be obedient children. Verses 14 to 19, let the idea flow. It's a beautiful picture. Verse 14, as obedient children, don't conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. And since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear, for you know that it wasn't with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from this empty way of life handed down to you by your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. There it is in verse 14. You and I are children of God. And we choose to be holy because we are the children of God. To be holy is to be chosen into God's family. To be holy is to be an obedient child of God. To be holy is to please your Father in heaven. Dad, I want to please you more than anything. And so the way I'm going to please you, I'm not going to be like everyone else. I want to be like you. And as a dad, that resonates. Because with my children, I don't want them to be like the world. I want them to imitate something great, not me. To be holy is to please our Father in heaven and imitate him. Be holy because I'm holy. That's what the Father in heaven is saying to every Christian in this room. You must be holy just like me. And the reason we're holiness is for two reasons. Number one, we've got an impartial dad. And number two, which hits me more, in verses 18 to 20, it cost Dad a lot to get us into this family. God didn't pay money to get us in. He gave us his son. And when you know that giving is so expensive, you realize your value and, you know, in a sense, our duty as family members. Is that all right? This is the interesting one, which I know you know, but I'm not sure if you apply. To be holy is to be an obedient children, and we obey as a family. Let me unpack verses 22 to 25. Listen to this. Now that you've purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Why? For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Why? For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. I have to tell you, holiness is not an individual effort. Is it? Holiness, to be made holy, is to be made into a family. Have you picked up all the language there? Brothers, sisters, obedient children, father, we are a family. That's what it is to be holy. And any Christian that's doing holiness by themselves doesn't understand holiness. Holiness is a familial thing, isn't it? According to the Bible. And because holiness is about being in a family, it means that loving one another is our obligation. We should love our family, shouldn't we? There's something dysfunctional about people that don't love their family. And loving family is hard because all those other people that go to church are strange. Not us. But those other people, and you think, gee, can I love this person? They're so strange. Because none of us have strange family members. But in verse 23 and 24, there's the word for. And he gives two really good reasons. Number one, we are able to love one another, and we are able to be a family, and we are able to be holy as a community because verse 23 says, we've been born again through an imperishable seed, the living word of God, the Bible, the written words of the Holy Spirit. We can do it because God equips us for it. And if you really want to get blown away, verse 24 ups the ante a bit. Verse 24 says, you know what, everything fades except the living word of God. And if it's the living word of God that's changing us and defines us as a family, that means this family will not fade. I love my mum. I love my brother. But as family members, they will fade unless they believe in Jesus. But this family doesn't fade. Very powerful statement. Last one. Craves pure spiritual milk. What pure spiritual milk? Let me go from verse 24 and I'll just go down to chapter 2, verse 3. All men are like grass, and their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourself of all malice and deceit, hypocrisy and envy and slander of every kind. I love this bit. And like newborn babies, you crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Now that you've tasted that the Lord is good, To be holy is to ingest the Word of God by the power of the Holy Spirit. They use the metaphor breastfeeding. I can't do that at the front. But to be holy is to move the Word of God from here in the book to the heart, to the head, to the soul, to the hands, and to the feet. If the Word of God hasn't made it to your hands, to your feet, trust me, it hasn't made it to your heart. That's a guarantee. Ever had a baby? Man, they scream if they don't get fed. I remember the first time I was a kid, when I was a dad, I don't know. You know, the Beckett cry, I'm thinking, I don't even know why you're crying. Is it gas? Is it poo? Is it pain? Is it something, the world's going to end? You feel like that when you're a parent. And then you realize they're just hungry. And then you stick them on the bottle or on the boob. We had to do bottle because of complications. And they suck the milk down. Bop, 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 bop. They're craving the milk. Craving it. And I thought, man, do I crave the Bible? The written word of the Holy Spirit? The soul of God? The emotions of God? The thoughts of God? The priorities? Do I crave it? Do I want to suck it down and just get it into me? Yes. And I'll give you two good reasons. Number one, the certain promises that God makes will make you a more stable person than the fickle circumstances. You know what it's like. When life's good, you feel good. Yay! When life's bad, you feel bad. Boo! When the politicians are good, you feel good. Yay! When they suck, boo! It's like being on a roller coaster with a maniac at the wheel. That's if you base your life and your stability and your happiness all on your circumstances, fickle and fading. But the promises of God, you're still on the roller coaster going, yeah, nah, it's all good. I've got the promises of God. And there's not just the promises of God in there, there's the truth of God, the objective truth of God, not the subjective truth of man. You know, what's true today is false tomorrow. True, it's true, it's false, it's true, it's false, it's opinion, it's evil, it's blah, 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 blah. God's truth never changes, and stable truths make for stable Christians. This is quality milk. Christian books are good, but they're formula. Online media, Facebook, Twitter, Netflix, that's Coca-Cola. What do you think of women that feed their kids Coca-Cola? Why are you feeding yourself Coca-Cola? It's sugary, gives you a hit. It'll kill you from the inside out. Get into the milk. I tried to summarize this. That was it for the passage. I tried to summarize to paint a picture of holiness that kind of made sense to me, and I hope this summary is encouraging for you. Holiness is first hopeful. It hopes fully in the coming of Jesus, the only hope. When the hope is clear, then the behavior follows. Holiness is behavioral. It's an obedience that desires to imitate God the Father because of the offering of God the Son and the power of God the Spirit. I love this Trinitarian stuff. And this behavior stuff is communal, because to choose God, we choose to belong and contribute to the family of God by the power of the Spirit. And it's biblical. The reason it's biblical is because the Bible was written by God and the Holy Spirit. And it makes sense. If you're fueled by the Spirit, then the words of the Spirit coincide with the power of the Spirit. And if the Spirit is sent by the Father and the Son, then it makes sense we should listen to the promises and the truths of the Bible. It's kind of a no-brainer, isn't it? Now, when I look at this, that holiness is hopeful, behavioral, communal, and biblical, when I look at it, now I've got something tangible to improve my holiness and something tangible to go, hey, there are some things that might threaten my holiness. Let me give you I want to go to the take-home value. I want to tell you a story. It's a very fresh story. It happened this week. It's an unpleasant story and a pleasant story. I want to tell you a story first, and then you'll see these principles in my little story. The media reports on same-sex marriage have been affecting Dennis Oliver, me. I read all the headlines of all the newspapers because, for all issues, because I want to take it all in and not just read what I like, but read what I don't like, so take it all in to be a relevant pastor and to be a prayerful Christian. I voted no to same-sex marriage because I looked at the Bible and I go, I can't legislate something God doesn't approve of. There's my reasoning. I'll put it on in front of you. For the last several weeks, now the media, please note, the media is open to millions of Australians. It communicates to millions, not 5 or 10, but millions. In the media the last several weeks, it's been told that anyone who votes no is fearful, bigoted, and maybe even a neo-Nazi. Now I'm going, wait a minute. I don't think I'm fearful, and I don't think I'm bigoted. But the label stuck on me, and I'm reading it, I'm trying to get around it. Last week, I was told that people who vote no have a lower intelligence. I'm reading this article going, really? It was done in the most polite way, in the most, really? Now you're calling me dumb. This week, which was the slap in the face for me, I read an article saying that religious exemption from this law is bad for our country, economically. And I'm going, here it comes. Now, hear me. How this is debated is getting me down. Because I'm going, really, this is democracy? Really? The Prime Minister says, we want your opinion on a matter. We'll post you out. I'm happy to give my opinion. Then I hear the Prime Minister on the radio telling me how to vote. It's not about the answer, it's about the method. Really? This is democracy? This is the pinnacle of human civilization? Well, I'm excited. And how it's debated makes me question my nation's future. I'm not born in Australia. I don't always think like an Aussie, but I love this country. And I'm going, where are we going as a country? Not so much from the answer of this decision, but from the way we deal with conflict in it. Where is Australia going? Why all this vitriol? That's permissible. And now as a dad, I'm going, how am I Beck and Ben going to do in this? My Beck and Ben. And I don't know if God will give it to us. If we have grandchildren, what about my grandchildren? What are they coming into? And people's responses, I watch the responses, I read it all, I just want to take it in to see what the people think as well as the spin doctors. And the people's responses is vitriolic. It's poisonous. I can't believe what I'm reading. And I've been down over it. It's been, for me, this is just for me personally, wearing me down. Then something, a coincidence happened. Three conversations in one day. Two of them were phone calls from Christians that decided to ring me to see how I was within an hour of each other. All three conversations reminded me that my hope is in Christ. Because in all this stuff, I realised I've been putting my hope in democracy, unwittingly, and my hope in our nation, in my hope in politics. And I've thought, far out, I've shifted my hope in my heart. And all three were concerned for me as a brother. I love my brother. He hasn't rung me. He hasn't discussed this with me. And these people have rung me and they're concerned for me as a brother. I'm their brother. And all three have pushed me back to the scriptures. The third person that spoke to me was my best friend. She's not in the room, so I can talk about her. It's Bronwyn. And she encouraged me the most. She gave me Psalm 62. I want to share it with you, okay? Because I was moved by this, and I know the psalm was written about the Lord Jesus, but I felt like God was going, listen, Dan, listen. Just let Psalm 62 flow over you. Just dig this. You ready? My soul finds rest in God alone, and my salvation comes from Him. And He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress, and I will never be shaken. How long will you assault a man Would all of you throw him down, this leaning wall, this tottering fence? They fully intend to topple him from his lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Oh, trust in him at all times, people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Low-born men are but a breath, and the high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they're nothing. Together, they're only a breath. Don't trust in extortion or take pride in stolen goods, though your riches increase, and don't set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things have I heard, that you, O God, are strong, and that you, O Lord, are loving, and surely you'll reward each person according to what he's done. Just blew me out of the water. That's where I was. How did Bronwyn know to bring that scripture to me when she didn't know what I was thinking and feeling precisely? That is the movement of the Holy Spirit through three people. Why am I telling you this story? Because this story affected my hope. I'm still emotional about it. But my hope is concrete. My holiness is concrete. And what do? They did all these things. They reset my hope. They reinforced that I was part of a community, not doing this alone in my head. I'm doing this as a group. And they reset me back on biblical thinking, not Dennis thinking. And with all that back in mind, bang, I'm back on obeying and imitating God. My reflections on this are twofold. There's lots of things we could say. I want to say two things. They demonstrated community to me, and we behaved as family over the phone, these three conversations. I want to ask you as CCM, if you're a Christian, we are family, we're siblings. The relationship we have will outlast our normal families. And we must behave as siblings. Shallow Christian relationships makes for shallow Christianity, truth. Deep Christian relationships make for deep Christianity. Risk taking risks in your relationships at church will take you from a safe place to an unsafe place to a rewarding place. Or you can stay safe and isolated. That's up to you. Don't do your faith as an individual that is fear-based. It's immature. Let's do it as a family and have good relationships, not just socially, but when we need it. And secondly, look, for me, I've been like a bubba chugging Psalm 62 down like it's going out of fashion, and I feel stronger. Christian books are like formula. They're nice, but it's not straight from the bosom of God. You know? How much media is pumped into your head? The great Mother Australia feeding you Coca-Cola. As long as it keeps you excited and sweet, we're all happy as we rot from the inside out. Get off that bosom and get onto the real one where you're filled with the Word of God and your emotions sure go up and down, but there's something solid inside and growing. That's holiness. Now, God is speaking to you, I know. And he may have hit you with one of these things, but there you are. We are holy people. And our holiness is hopeful, behavioral, communal, and biblical. And I want to put a fifth one in, eternal. I'll pray, I'll pass back to Gwendy, and we'll get on with encouraging one another. Oh, Father God, no one understands you. No one understands us like you understand us. Lord, your spirit rolls around in our mind and rolls around in our heart, and you know our doubts and our fears, and you know everything about us, Lord. Lord, we love to claim your power. Lord, we love to ask you to fill us so that we behave like a family, not like orphans. Fill us, Lord. Enable us to get to know new people. Lord, enable us to join a Bible study. Enable us to start a conversation. Enable us to ask how you're going. Enable us to do so many things we're afraid to do. Thank you for protecting us from this world. And I thank you personally that you worked for me this week in one day. And we look forward to your return, where every tear will be wiped, where sin is no more and death is no more, and equity is everywhere, and love is just overflowing like the ocean. Fill us with your hope for humanity and protect us from the poisons and the toxins of the media. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for your time, people.